Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking, and we're back on 103.9 radio, Long Island News Radio. And what I was talking about was a lady who came to this country that she was a complete stranger to this country, never been here before, but immediately she felt an affinity for a country that she had never been for, because intellectually and the ideas of this country have been spread around the world. This is something that people look for. And we may ponder the affinity of this new country that is known to our ancestors. Those of us who were born here can only imagine the experience of abandoning a homeland that had let them down. People left their villages, families, friends, and all that was familiar to them. In many cases, perhaps most cases, the new country, America, was hostile to them, as we see in our own country today, the hostility to immigrants. As hostile as it may have been, they knew that they had a better chance at life here than the place that they had come from. See, it's about freedom. It was about freedom then, and it's still about freedom today. Safety, security are extremely important conditions, but the great elixir, the great mind-bending idea is that of freedom. If we trade our sacred freedoms for a promise of safety from the state, it is indeed a sorry trade. In the final analysis, the state can never guarantee our safety. But state after state has been successful in robbing their populations of this precious concept, a personal freedoms, remove freedoms, and all else you make is not worth much at all. It's but a trinket. And in keeping with this idea, I have a little verse that my mother used to say, and remember she was an Italian immigrant, and she came here as a young girl. She used to recite something like this from time to time. Be there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, this is my home, my native land, my country. And she wasn't even an American-born person. But that's how they feel, and the reason why they feel is pretty obvious when you live here. So, as I was saying, there's a certain magic about being in this country that is felt by people who came here as immigrants rather than people who, like you and I, who were probably born here. We have a different take on things, but with a little bit of thought, we can really appreciate what these people feel, and it's pretty profound. And then for the next segment here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking about something that I feel is very important and a problem that we should be dealing with. I call it citizens divided. And where do we begin? Our elected officials in Washington are no longer with the people. I say that with the naivete that implies that maybe once they were. A few years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that allowing corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money to the candidates they wanted to support. Since that ruling, it became clear to me, as any individual contributing to the campaign of national candidates by individuals was fruitless and foolish. My $50, $100, or even $500 was small potatoes, and it didn't do anything. The Senate and the House of Representatives need to compete for real money, and these days real money means not a few thousand dollars, it's millions. In other words, we simply don't matter anymore. The income disparity alone would dictate that there just isn't enough money in the coffers of individuals to support campaigns. The very wealthy control the entire game, and any contribution by the ordinary guy is a waste of money. We may as well use the money to take the kids to the ball game. As bad as the situation, it's all only part of the problem. The larger problem is the disparity of wealth between people that between the people who make things and create services and the people who dream up financial instruments and rob the country's wealth. Few people understand these instruments, but what we do understand is that the game is stacked against us. You may hear the mantra that the disparity is a function of education differences, and that is partially true, but it's not the whole truth. The fallacy is that those with higher education are self-made, but that is almost never true. We live in a country where you have courts and we have systems and we have banking and we have GPS that I don't pay for and you don't pay for. You know, you go out and if you own a yacht, you go out into the ocean, you get GPS and you didn't pay for that directly, or you didn't buy it directly. It came out of your tax dollars, and that's how it got purchased. That's why we pay taxes. We don't mind paying taxes if we know we're getting services for them. But everybody who tells me that they're self-made, I just wince, and because I know some very, very successful people, and very few of them will tell you that stupid story, because it is a stupid story. There is a class warfare in this country, and you can bet that the union carpenter, the union electrician did not start it, nor did they win. The assault on the working class has been unrelenting for decades. Union busting has been very effective. Union workers represent the smallest percentage of the workforce than any time in the last 70 years. Labor is in disarray, not very different from what it was in the 1920s. That legacy of income disparity was instrumental in bringing on the Great Depression of the 30s. Why should we think that the outcome is going to be any different? The outcome of that legacy is the legacy of the working poor, and we have trouble in River City, so to speak. The other problem is term limits. The benefits and liabilities of term limits have to be weighed. If we limit an elected official, we run the risk of term limiting a devoted public servant and replacing him with a less able office holder, of course, or worse, even a crook. If we reject the notion of term limits, the power of incumbency will allow a slug who may be a good campaigner stay in office long before his ideas are proven terrible. With term limits, we could remove from office people who would be like Ted Kennedy and Michael Bloomberg or even Mario Cuomo, if you like those people, and Bob Dole and Orrin Hatch. Well, depending on your politics, you might say, who cares? But we would lose those people if you think they're competent and worth keeping. But the other thing is that when you create a system where people are constantly changing, you create a desire on the part of many more people who want to get into the game and feel that they have some contribution to make. And therefore, we lose a lot of new talent. Now, suppose somebody who's really good gets elected out of office or get forced out of office by virtue of term limits. Well, then what will happen is that they might run for a higher office, or they may serve in a different way, like presidents do. You take presidents like Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, and to some extent, and Gerald Ford, and other presidents who have left the office, they do good things for the country. They continue to build goodwill for the country. Or they'll take on projects that would help poor people around the world or in the country. So to take these people out of office at a time when they might be very, very productive and very good is a double-edged sword. We might actually gain something beneficial by doing it. So that argument is negated of losing competent people is negated by the fact that they might be doing something else. Equally important, by the way, and if you look at the records of, say, Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton has done a lot of good. And by the way, he's one of our favorite sons now. Of course, he was nothing but a low life crook all kinds of names, including murderer. He was called everything under the sun. But we have a strange bunch of politics in this country, and it's really very depressing at times. But it could be better. And it's only going to be better when we start making it better. And by making how we can do that is to take no guff from anybody. Speak your mind. Tell them what you want. Tell them that, what you need, so we can have a country that serves the people better. And I'm very happy with this country. I think it could be better. And I think we all should be working toward making it better. And then, as far as those loudmouths on the radio like me, who tell you one thing, give you their opinion is their opinion. It has nothing to do with your life. Make your life and do what you need to do to make the contribution you feel you have to make. I've enjoyed talking to you today about my personal thoughts. And this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. This is Long Island News Radio. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.